It's a great day.
It's a great day.
Praise
it's
the Lord.
It's going to be a great year.
We just speak blessing over you and Thank anointing you. Over you.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Not yet. God. Well, since it's already up there, Chris Collins, our jokester, could not wait. But go ahead, put it up there again, Chris. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words, right? So if you ask me how I'm feeling about 2018, I want you to think of right there. That's how I'm feeling about the new year. Believing for great things, going into it with great expectations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you did for us in 2017. And Lord, we come to you with great expectation and faith, believing for wonderful things in 2018, Lord. We thank you for your promise in Scripture that says that, Lord, you desire to give us a good future and a hope as far as our plans concerning our future. And so, Lord, we just remember that. And Lord, we want to posture our souls and our attitudes this morning in such a way that we would be receptive of what it is that your Holy Spirit is doing through our lives in this upcoming year. So Lord, help us to release the old and grab a hold of the new. And we thank you that in Christ we are new creations, and the old has gone and the new has come. And so Lord, we open up our hearts to receive just the new things by your Spirit in 2018, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the title, appropriately, of my message this morning is, Are You Ready? Are You Ready? The new year is upon us. Can you believe it? Can you believe that tomorrow is 2018? Gosh, as each year goes by, they seem to go by just a little bit faster. I thought last year couldn't go by any faster than I experienced this year, and I'm like, where did it go? God did many great things in our lives in 2017. I'm very thankful for that, but I love to spend this week after Christmas leading into New Year really kind of just preparing my heart, praying, seeking the Lord, and just putting myself in a place of really just opening up my eyes of faith, my heart, to what God wants to do through my life and through our church's life in 2018. And I'm always reminded when I begin to seek the Lord in this kind of way that God is good. God is good. If there's anything that history has taught us, is that he is good and that he is faithful and his love endures forever. In fact, Paul told Timothy, remind him that even when we're faithless, God is still faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so God is full of faith. Are you with me? I mean, God's ready for 2018. It's not a surprise to him. He knew this time would come. He's already gone ahead of us. He's already got good works for us to do in advance. And so I think it's an awesome responsibility and a privilege that we have to begin to align our lives and, as I said, posture our souls to prepare ourselves for what he wants to do in the new year. Doesn't that sound like an awesome thought? I remember reading when I was doing my dad's memorial service this quote that blessed is the person who can integrate the beginning of his life with the end. In other words, man, when we can understand exactly why we're here and what it is we're supposed to do and live each day, one step at a time, one day at a time, according to understanding God's ultimate purpose for us. Begin with the end in mind and live up towards the fulfillment of our days. Man, that's a fulfilled life. That's a life that's going to glorify God. And so, I'm full of great expectation going into this new year, and I'm so thankful that God has given us the hope of a new year. I so appreciate our worship team and just their hearts to seek the Lord and their hearts to minister to God and to us. And just the song selection this morning, Unstoppable God. You know, Diana was exhorting us, and it was the Holy Spirit through her just trying to, you know, exhort us to think like God wants us to think and believe the way he wants us to believe and see him the way he wants us to see him. But he is an unstoppable God. Unstoppable God. And when we realize that, we then also realize that impossible things in his name shall be done. Yeah. So I am declaring that for 2018, that our God is unstoppable and impossible things in his name shall be done. Challenge. How am I? Can you hear me? All right. The challenge of, I think, getting older is to not get cynical or not get hard-hearted or not get bitter, not to allow the love in your heart to grow cold, but to still, like, very childlike, to still believe, yeah. To believe so much so that it causes you to, it spurs you on to good deeds and to action. And so this is a time to prepare. This is a time to believe. I love what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says in regards to having eyes of faith and seeing what God wants to do. It says, now faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. That's what faith is. It's confidence in what we hope for. Of course, 2018 isn't here yet, but we have confidence in things we're hoping for. What are you hoping for? What are you believing for? It's assurance of what you do not see, because what you see through your eyes of faith is going to determine how you act. And so you're either going into the new year with faith, or you're the only other option really is to be motivated by your insecurities or your fears. So one of two things are driving you in life: your insecurities and your fears, which causes you just to kind of have a survival mentality, or faith, which allows you to live the way God wants you to live, and ultimately through that be a blessing to people. I love what it said about Enoch later on in Hebrews chapter 11, in that great hall of faith passage of scripture there. You know, we don't know much about Enoch. We just know that he was here one day and that he was gone. All of a sudden, the Lord just took him. He was gone. The scripture says he didn't experience death. He could not be found. God took him away. But before he was taken, there was something that was said about Enoch. It was commended of him as one who did something. Guess what Enoch did? He was a person who pleased God. You know, when it's all said and done, how would you like that to be kind of the epitaph of your tombstone, be just a simple sentence, the big idea of your life? Here is whoever you are, all right? Here is so-and-so. What would it be said for all eternity about you? One who pleased God. The one who pleased God. And so we know that that's how Enoch lived. Let us be people like him. But right after that in verse 6, it says, and it reminds us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Come on, unstoppable God. In your name, impossible things shall be done. They must believe that he exists. And that he's what? He's the rewarder. The rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So here's the challenge we face in the 21st century. It's setting aside the time in your life, prioritizing your life around this single thought: I'm seeking God today. I'm seeking God above everything else in my life. You know, there's times and seasons in life. Times and seasons in life. And the more you live life, the more you understand this, the more you appreciate this, the more you can prepare. Thank God that God's a God of order. He orders our days, he orders our weeks, our months, our years, and that's a lot for our preparation and planning, so that when those times come, we can be ready. God wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready. I mean, the sad thing throughout history is that when it was time, people weren't ready. I mean, why do you think we have the scripture? Why do you think we have the Holy Spirit? Why do you think God sent prophets? I mean, before Jesus came, you know, you read the Christmas story, what's it say? As the prophet said, as the prophet said, as the prophet said. I mean, God wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to get to our day and our time and be like, oh, what am I supposed to do? He wants us to know. He wants us to be prepared. So, as the wise man Solomon said, there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. And so I believe this time of the year is a time a special time, though every day is, but it's a special time to seek God. It's to seek him. And I believe there's an open window of heaven for God to begin to speak to us and reveal to us what he wants us to do in the new year. If anybody should be prepared, if anybody should be on the forefront, if anybody should be a little bit ahead, it should be us, the people of God, right? We should be ready for what God is doing in this upcoming year. I want to be like the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12, 32, who, this is what it said about them, that they were men who understood the times. They understood the times. And why was that so important? Because then it goes on to say, they knew what they were supposed to do. So there's a time and season for everything. We know that people throughout history who were ready for those times and seasons were people described as people of great faith or people who knew what to do in those times. Do you want that to be you going into 2018? God, I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to be about your business. The great thing about Jesus is that he said this in regards to his relationship with the Heavenly Father. How would you like this to be the order of your day? He said, I only do what it is I see my Father doing. I only do what pleases him. Now, how simple would life become? How much anxiety and stress would be released from your life if that could be a true declaration from you that you only do what you see the Father doing? And you only do what pleases him. I think a lot of our anxiety and our stress comes from what? Being outside of what God would have us to do today. And so I can think of no better scripture leading us into the new year than Matthew 6, 25 through 34, as Jesus talks about our priorities and our perspectives in regards to not worrying. Let's read it together. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or about what you will wear. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here's the bad news. Gave you the good news. Here's the bad news. Is 2018 is full of trouble. It's full of trouble. But guess what? We're not to worry, because God's gone ahead of us. And in that, he wants us to posture our souls in a way that we have faith in him, belief and trust in him. So much so that it's motivating us to draw close to him every day, to seek him every day, to know his will and to be close to him. And see, like I said before, earlier, that we're either going to be in one of two places. We're either going to be in that place of seeking him, his kingdom first and foremost, or we're going to allow all the other things in life and all the other motivations that you know, try to get us to chase those things. We're either going to allow those to dictate how we spend our time, how we prioritize our life, or we're going to allow the seeking of God, his kingdom and his righteousness, be the first thing that we prioritize in our life. Isn't it interesting? Now, if we got honest with ourselves, think how much time we spend during our week, during our month, during our year, seeking what the Lord says not to worry about, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, all right? Think about just the things, that, and that really can be summed up. Yes, God doesn't want us to go hungry. Yes, God doesn't want us to go thirsty. Yes, God doesn't want us to walk around naked. That's not what he's saying. The point is, he's saying, look, I'm your father. I care about you. I am your provider. I will provide for you. I will do things for you that you can't do for yourself, starting with salvation, if you'll just trust me and seek me. So think, we spend all our time seeking those things, and what? We still feel like we don't have enough, right? I mean, isn't that the end result of all of our seeking of those things? Is we get there and it's what? We're discontent, or we're greedy, or it's hard to give, or it's we're fearful, or we're insecure because we've sought all those things, and in those things in and of themselves, they don't satisfy, or they can't ultimately provide, or they can't ultimately put a place of security in our soul. And so we walk around, what, medicated. The most medicated generation of all time, according to studies and statistics, right? We're very medicated. Why? Because we're stressed or fearful or anxious. And we have more of those things than anybody's ever had. You know, people ask, did you have a good Christmas? And I laugh. I go like, did I have a good Christmas? It's like, oh my gosh. It's like we have so much more than we need. Like, how can, if you can't be happy on Christmas Day, man, you just need to be backhand. There's something really wrong with you. I mean, we have it so good. Are you with? Come on. We have it so good. And yet, why are we at times so miserable? Why are we so irritable? Why are we so cranky? Why are we so short with one another? Where's the joy of the Lord manifesting in our lives, right? It's not a lack of provision or a lack of stuff in our lives. Think about it. I mean, we seek those as if, man, if we just get that, it'll make us happy, and we've got it, and it doesn't. Versus, what if we changed our lives around and really sought God's kingdom first and found peace, found joy, and found contentment, and found, you know, in that contentment, what it really means to be provided for, to have every need met, not every want met, right? My boys learned a long time ago, I'm not a father who's going to meet your every want. I'll work hard to meet your needs, but I'm not going to meet your every want. So they don't follow me to the grocery store because the answer is no. I don't keep spare change in my pocket because I know that one right there especially would be digging it out all the time. You wrestle with, you know, my boys are into wrestling now. They wrestle with him, and they just start wrestling with knowing, like, change and dollars and things are falling out of his pocket. It's like, I'm like, you're a rich man. Where'd you get all that? But what if we sought first the kingdom? Come on, really sought God first. Allowed him to order our lives. Allowed him to dictate how we live and what we do and what our purpose is. Allowed him to provide in such a way that brings contentment to our life, that I'm happy with what I've got. I don't have to continue to strive for more. I'm not comparing myself to the other person next to me or my neighbor or whoever else. I'm happy with who I am in Jesus and what he's done for me. It's a whole different way to live. That's how God wants us to live. That's how we are not living in America today. And we have a chance going into New Year to make a difference, to change. As we read that passage of scripture there in Matthew, what did Jesus expect us to have as our top priority? What did he say there? What should be our top priority? Seek first the kingdom of God. His rule, his reign, his authority, his purpose in our lives. You know, what the world and others around us consider urgent is rarely truly urgent. It's rarely urgent. And what matters most is God's will being done in our life, seeking his kingdom, making the most of the life he's given you. That's what's urgent. What if we had an urgency, a sense of urgency about, God, I got to seek you today. God, I got to know today that I'm not wasting 1 second, 1 moment, 1 day of this life you've given me. See, we tend to fall into think we've got tomorrow. Come on. Yes. I mean, yes. Right? You know? Yes. I do. I mean, you know, like I expect to have tomorrow. I'm audacious enough to admit that. You know, I expect tomorrow, but we're not to expect tomorrow. We're to prepare for tomorrow. But my point is, we just get like kind of complacent and just, you know, expecting certain things versus getting there and going, you know, this day is a blessing. This day God has given me. I might not get another one. I'm going to make the most of this one today, living this life well, doing the things today that I'm supposed to do, knowing that if I do that and get tomorrow, man, tomorrow will take care of itself. But we just go, oh, I'll get tomorrow. I'll put everything off I'm supposed to do because I'm getting tomorrow. See the difference? Versus I'm not getting tomorrow. What? I got to do everything I need to do today. Thank God for deadlines, right? We never get anything done. Would the yard ever get mowed without Monday coming? Right? I mean, huh? But according to what we read there, God says, you know, at midnight, you're not promised anything else. So make the most of what you have today. How simple would life be? How productive would we be? Yes. How ordered would we be in the right way? Yes. Yeah, see, I don't want to go into another year and just go, okay, well, man, I'm going to get 2019, so 2018 can kind of be sorry because I'm going to get 2019. That's what happens, right? I mean, when we think we get more, we tend to abuse what it is that we have. Instead of valuing and appreciating it. What does first mean? I mean, God, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. What does it mean? What does first mean? It means before anything else. Before you do anything else in your day, in your life, seek first his will, his kingdom, his authority in your life. What else does it mean? It means choosing God's will and way first. His will first, before anything else. And then it means what? Keeping your priorities right. Keeping the right perspective in life. Not allowing that to change. Not using what? Busyness as an excuse. Amen. You know, like busyness in our society today has become a badge of honor to do what it is to not do what it is we're supposed to be doing. I'm out of shape. Why? Because I'm too busy. I don't go to church. Why? Because I'm too busy. I'm not reading my Bible. Why? Because I'm too busy. I'm not spending time with my kids the way I should. Why? Because I'm too busy. I'm not doing my job that makes me too busy. Well, why? Because I'm too busy. It's like a badge of honor to not be productive or not do what it is we're supposed to do. And Jesus tells us very plainly in the parable of the sower that what's one of the things that choke out his word and his will in our life, the worries of this life, the busyness of this life, right? And everybody, talk to people, everybody's busy. You know what really bugs me as a man approaching his 50s? I don't know if I'm young or old, I'm somewhere around both, but depending on who you are and who I'm talking to and what the day is, I guess, and how my knees are feeling. I don't know. But what really bugs me as a man who is married, a man who has kids, and a man who stays very busy doing things, is that when I meet single people who, like, you know, you're trying to connect with them or talk with them or help them get their life in order, you know, and they can't do it. Why? Because they're too busy. I'm like, don't tell me that. Tell me anything else. Tell me the truth. Just tell me, look, I don't want God's will for my life. Amen. I just want to be in rebellion, man. Like, I appreciate that more. Don't tell me you're busy. Like, I look back on my life. Come on, can you do that? Can you do that now in perspective and look back on your life and go, you know, you thought you were busy. Guess what you were doing? You were wasting a bunch of time. I thought I was busy in high school. You know what I was doing? I was wasting my life. That's what I was doing, right? Let me tell you, what you think is important, what you think is priority is how what you will order your life around. And God says, I'm showing up one day again. I'm going to step on planet Earth. We're going to find out who was really seeking first the kingdom and who was it. And all the things you collected and thought were great and got busy and stressed out over, guess what? It's all gone. And the only thing that matters, the only reward that remains is those and that who did my will, who did my purpose. And it's a great time of the year to be reminded of that. What type of devotion does God want for us, right? I mean, if we're going to seek first the kingdom, it takes devotion, doesn't it? Yeah. What is important? What needs to be our priority? That's what you put your devotion. That's what you put your time and attention to. Well, Paul, I love what Paul says to the church at Corinth. You know, the church at Corinth got two letters, not one, but two. And Paul loved them dearly, but he didn't write two letters just because of his love for them. He wrote them two letters. Why? Because they needed it. They needed a reminder. They needed a second letter. Why? Because they'd allowed things to come into their life that were distracting them from doing God's will to their life. So he had to write them again. It's in the book of Corinthians that we get what? The true understanding of godly repentance and what? Worldly repentance. Or godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. The church at Corinth, that was written to them because he's going, look, you say you want to change, but you ain't changing. In fact, the only thing you're doing is you're sorry you got caught. You don't want to change. Your heart's not right. You just, you know, you're trying to play the game. And then, oh, when I show up, you know the language. Hey, brother, how you doing? Amen. But your heart ain't changed. So there's a difference. That's godly sorrow. He said, here, that's worldly sorrow. He said, here's godly sorrow. Godly sorrow changes your heart, changes your will. It changes your actions. You act different. And so in that context, we can read 1 Corinthians 7:35. He says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live the right way with what? An undivided devotion to the Lord. An undivided devotion to the Lord. How often during the year does your devotion get divided? It's a time, it's a season to really ask that question. What comes in? What chokes out? What distracts? What begins to take priority or first place over our undivided devotion to the Lord? In 2 Corinthians 11:3, he reminds them, he says, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your what? Your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So our devotion should be what? Undivided. It should be sincere and it should be pure. And then in 1 Chronicles 28:9, Solomon was exhorted to acknowledge the God of his father and to serve him whole with what? Wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart, understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, there that is again, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. So we see that in order to be seeking first the kingdom of God, in order to keep our priorities and perspectives in the right place, our devotion has to be what? Has to be undivided, has to be pure and sincere, and it has to be wholehearted. Yes. Lord, that's my prayer for us in 2018, that our seeking of your kingdom would be undivided, pure and sincere, and wholehearted. Amen. Now, why is that so important? Because we become a whole and mature and complete person. Sometimes the scriptures use the word perfect. That's why in James chapter 1, it says, rejoice in trials and tribulations, because the testing of our faith is working perseverance in our life. Perseverance must have its perfect work, so we'll be what? Its perfect work, so we'll be whole, mature, complete. Paul exhorted Corinthians to what? To aim for perfection. Again, in that, it's the church at Corinth he was saying that to. Why? Because they were acting immature. So he said, aim for perfection. What was he saying? Do everything right all the time? No, we can't do that as humans. But what was he saying? Be mature. Be mature in your thinking. Be mature in your perspective. Be whole and complete in who God has made you to be. Do you know what's a sad, sad thought is getting to the end of your days and being an unfinished work? I mean, if the principle's true, how you leave is how you enter. How you leave earth is how you enter heaven. I mean, isn't that a sad thought? And Paul gives people, again, is it Corinthians or Romans? He gives them a thought of what that looks like, eternity for some people. Some go in as if what? Precious stones. Some go in what? Like wood, hay, and stubble. Some go in eternity as what? As ones barely escaping the flames. Their whole life is burned up in how it was lived. Covered, yes, in the blood of Jesus, but a wasted life. What a sad thought to get to the end of your days and realize that you were what? You were an unfinished work. And because you were an unfinished work, you could never do what? You could never really be about God's work, because he was having to so much work on you. Come on, that's good preaching now. Come on, man. I mean, that's good preaching. Just don't stare at me. I mean, that ain't from me. Huh? I mean, that's why, I'm way off script now. That's why Apostle Paul said what? What did he say to the church at Philippi, who was a mature church, we know, and that, man, it's the joy epistle. Man, they were like the ones who, when Paul needed someone to step up, they were there. They were there for him. Are you with me? And he wrote to that church, much different than the church at Corinth in this regards. He wrote to them and he said, I have great confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in Christ Jesus. He didn't say that to the church at Corinth. He said, you need to learn the difference of worldly repentance and godly repentance, because you're playing and faking it. He said, but the church at Philippi, I got confidence in you by the way you're living in Jesus, that he's going to finish the work he began in you. Yes. Nothing's worse than getting to the end of your days and being an incomplete work. Yes. God wants to finish his work in us. Yes. Don't waste 2018 thinking you got 2019. Go into the new year. Can you hear me? Devil out in Jesus' name. As we go into the new year, what should we be devoted to? You know, some things change, some things stay the same. In regards to our devotion to the Lord, these things never change. I'll start the first one off with, and I'm adding one here, is that, and really in praying for the new year, just in simplicity, really kind of the goals for the church is, what I would really like to see happen is I'd like us to see us to continue to facilitate great Sunday morning services. You know, Sunday morning service in America is still the greatest way to introduce people to Jesus. It still is. So how do we make Sunday mornings great? You know how we make Sunday mornings great? By everybody participating and being involved. So I want you to ask yourself, how can I participate and be involved to help make Sunday morning church at my church great? What can I do versus just showing up and receiving? How can I give and contribute? Beyond my giving financially, how can I use whatever gift, whatever personality I have to help make it great? Is it in the cafe? Is it in the sound booth? Is it with helping with the cleaning team? What is it children's church? Where is it? But I know that at least one time during the month, each month of the year, that they can count on me to be the practical representation of Christ to people on Sunday morning. What's another great goal? Another great goal is we want to improve our campus outreach and evangelism for 2018. Can I show you something? I'm serious about this. I'm not just saying this to pass time. You still there? You still there? Thank you for hanging out. That's how serious I am about 2018 on the campus. Doesn't that look fun? That's three works of meeting and praying. Come on. We're believing. If God gives us May 9th, we're believing all the way up to May 9th right now. I mean, we got plans. Look at that. We got people, speakers, plans. Look, Adam Farrow, you're on the list, man. You got to stay around a few more months. You're on the list to speak and preach. Why? Because we got an unstoppable God. He wants to do impossible things. I mean, why would I do that? In my humanity, I don't care enough about people to do that. God's changed my life. You know what that board's about right there? Is souls being saved. A next generation of leaders being launched for Jesus who are on a campus right now who has to shut down their campus because people are dying from being drinking too much. There's drug deals going on in campus. So they have no other answer but to shut it down. We've got an answer. Jesus Christ in your life. We're believing. God cares. He says, write it down, believe, pray. Man, we're believing for God to do something great, to reach kids, to change their lives. So, we're believing to improve and to build upon our campus outreach for 2018. I'll smile now. All right? And the third one would be, we want to increase our small group participation. Why is that so important? Well, I'll get to that in a moment. But let's look here as we continue to go through, all right? The first one is we know that we have to make our church attendance a priority. I understand you can't be here every Sunday. I understand that. I get that. But when you are here, be here.
Yes.
All right? Facebook doesn't count in eternity. It's a good supplement when you've done everything possible to get here, but haven't been able to get here, then you can watch it. But it's not a supplement for your participation. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
I mean, you know, think about read Acts, man. Who got the Holy Spirit? Those who got to where they were supposed to be. The exact place. It wasn't another place. It was that room together, and they were filled. Come on, you can't get that in your house by yourself. I need you in my life. When I come here, it reminds me I need my Sunday fix with go-to folks. I need it because it helps me be who I'm supposed to be Monday through Saturday. I need it. It's a priority. For the last however many, 20-plus years, I've organized my whole life around these things. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. I'm going to read my Bible every morning. I'm going to pray and seek Jesus, and I'm going to try to not go insane in the process. So that's got to be a priority. All right, so now back to the board and notes. What should we be devoted to? One, study and observance of the Bible. Duh. Ezra 7, verse 10, when they returned from the exile, I mean, these were people who, as they were rebuilding their society, what had to be a priority? The Word of God. Look, what's wrong with America? Simple. Word of God's not a priority. And it's not a priority, not in the lost people. It's not a priority in the people who call themselves the people of God's heart. Because when it becomes a priority in our hearts, we dictate where culture goes. We are light, not darkness, all right? We are salt. Are you with me? I mean, we are the ones. So what is the condition of the light and salt in its society? So we have to look at ourselves. That's why I'm preaching like this. I'm really a nice guy, but we have to look at ourselves and say, hey, how can we be more light and more salt as we go into the new year? Man, it comes from getting in God's Word. His Word has to feed us. more than Starbucks, more than that muffin. Man, the Word of God has to feed and nourish our soul. It has to be the thing that is renewing our mind, not Fox News or not CNN. The Word of God, God's Word is determining how I think about today. Ezra devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. All throughout history, if you study revivals, if you study prosperous societies, why did they revive or why were they prosperous or why did they go through a time to where they were growing and great things were happening? Always, it was an adherence to the Word of God. Always. Always. It was a people seeking God's will. What exalts a nation, Psalm tells us? What exalts it? Righteousness. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. Must come from us. Number two is look at Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. Taking the words devotion. So what does that mean? How does it play out in our lives? Well, two things. One, small group participation and prayer. If you read God's word, if you pray, man, you'll be in a different place in your soul to be all the things I've been talking about. But it doesn't just stop there. Man, we need small group participation. Hey, one time during the week. They met daily. That's how important it was for them. I mean, think about the things we do daily, like whether it's our work environments or the people we're around because of that don't encourage us in the will of God. I mean, think how many hours we're around situations or people that aren't encouraging us to be Christians. And we wonder why we're not strong. And we allow that to choke out God versus going, okay, wait, again, this is going to be a priority. Church attendance, prayer, reading of the word. And small group participation once a week. Yeah. Hey, well, there's not one that meets in a time that I can make it. Man, I get that. Trust me, I get that. But here's what you do. You start one. You facilitate one on your time. That's the beauty of doing it on your time. Look, you're way, I can almost look across the room and see every single one. You're way past the point of still needing to be fed. In fact, if you know, it's like over the years you hear people, well, I'm not growing anymore. Like, I want to change churches, or this is Christians all throughout the world. I want to change it. I'm not growing more. Let me tell you why you're not growing. Because you're still looking to be fed instead of feeding others. Yes. You know, it's like young people say, you know, I'm just going to wait and get prepared to be a father or be all this. I'm like, yeah, well, good luck. Let me know when you get prepared, because the next 18 years are going to be throwing things you never had in your life before that no book will prepare you for, because when you get in the minute, you got to suck it up and get it done. It's what? It's the taking of responsibility, and it's the commitment to be faithful, and it's the commitment to walk it out and leave it, live it out every day, and you get to the end of those years and go, man, something happened. I'm mature. I'm responsible. I have perspective in life now. I have appreciation for what others have done for me. I never appreciated my parents until what? I changed a diaper. And I realized, oh, God, somebody did this for me. I mean, my dad, man, you, at any time of the day, usually the night for us, we could show up with the whole gang, the whole, you know, linebackers and half the offensive line. We could show up and Pops would jump up from watching ESPN Australian Rules Football. Back then, that's like recorded Australian Rules Football. Who remembers ESPN back in those days when, like, that was the highlight of the night, Australian Rules Football? And we'd laugh like, why are you watching Australian Rules Football? That's how much he loves sports. He would jump up and he would make food for us with joy. Man, like at 10 o'clock when my boys are still hungry, Cindy and I are like, get to bed. Get to bed, go to sleep. We're not feeding you anymore. Like, put a chain on the refrigerator. Are you with me? My dad would jump up and be like, what do you want to eat? Order pizzas. Let's go. So I want to encourage you, start a small group, start a Bible study, do something that, man, okay, my week, I'm going to prioritize my week around this. And if I do this faithfully and consistent, the 40 hours that I'm chasing other things that don't ever seem to work out the way I want to, I'll get that done in 20 hours because I'm being faithful to do what God wants me to do here, and he's going to bless that, right? It's the principle of the tithe. Are you with me? God says, look, I'll do more with your 90 than you'll ever do with your 100, because if you keep your 100 in your greed, it'll be cursed. There'll be a hole in it. You give me the 10, which is already mine for your own good, and guess what I'll do? I'll bless that and multiply it beyond what you can think or imagine. It's the same thing with time, right? Seek first God first with your time. Prioritize your life around that. Then the other things you're chasing, what? Don't become so difficult. Guess prosperity was whose idea? God's. All right, then let's look at the last one here. Acts 18:5. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. That devotion to preaching, really being a witness. When we say preaching, I know sometimes you think, okay, that's Sunday morning getting up in the pulpit and preaching. No, it's being a witness. Be devoted to that. Every day I'm here to be a witness where God has placed me. That's my first priority. And as I seek first the kingdom and prioritize my life around that, the order of my day, God will do what? He'll be in control of that. He knows, right, what you need. Order your day around that and watch. All of a sudden, the conflict you have in relationships or with your boss or whatever else, all of a sudden, it's just the favor of the Lord gets on you. You know, when you're undivided, you're sincere and pure and you're wholehearted, guess what you become? Not only mature and complete, but you become a person who has what? Great authority. It was Jesus. Why, when Jesus spoke, they said nobody's ever spoke like him. And they described his speaking in what way? With authority. Because he was the very word of God in flesh and body. What he said is what he did. And it was so sincere, so pure, so undivided and wholehearted that he spoke with authority. And that's what we're to have in God's kingdom. We are to be people who have authority. But when we're faking it, what do we lose? We lose our place of authority on this planet. So important. How do we consecrate ourselves or to be fully devoted to the Lord? What do we need to do? We need to consecrate ourselves. That word simply means being set apart to do the Lord's will. Setting something apart for God's use. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people before they were entering the promised land, listen to this, man, it's a theme for this morning. He said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do what? Amazing things. Amazing things among you. Right? Unstoppable God. In your name, impossible things will be done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore in 2018. Consecrate yourself. Set yourself apart. Offer your lives as living sacrifices to the Lord. We're exhorted that over and over and over again. As we do that, put us in the position for God to do amazing things through us. What's the best way to do that? Well, one of the ways is through fasting. And as we enter the new year, January 8th will kick off our, I think it's 8th through the 12th, our time of fasting. So just want you to be praying and preparing your heart for that. We're partnering with churches, our Every Nation churches, and really the body of Christ around the world to have that week of prayer and fasting where we, in a special way, consecrate ourselves and set ourselves apart to do the Lord's will. Just want to remind us of the power of doing this in Isaiah 58:6-11. Tells us about the power of fasting. What does it do? It looses the chains of injustice. Not our yelling and screaming and complaining, but our fasting and seeking the Lord. It loosed the chains of injustice. Think about, like, we see all the strife and division still in America today. What if God's people fasted and prayed over that stuff? Engaged the argument in a different kind of way. Won the battle spiritually. How would that begin to manifest on earth? Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Break every yoke. We'd be able to share food with the hungry. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter. Clothe the naked. Our light would break forth like the dawn, the scripture says. Our healing would quickly appear. Our righteousness would go before us. The glory of the Lord would be our rear guard. When we'd call to the Lord, he would answer. When we cry for help, he would say, "Here I am." Wouldn't that be nice to know that I'm walking in such a way that God's close? When I call, he says, "Here I am." We do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, the malicious talk. We could spend ourselves on behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Our light would rise in the darkness. Our night would become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's our destiny for 2018. To sum up this morning, are you ready? 2018 is upon us. You're in the starting block whether you want to be or not. How will you live out this following year? Scripture reminds us that we must first seek the kingdom of God. We must be undivided, wholehearted, sincere, and pure in our devotion to him. We must consecrate ourselves, set ourselves apart. And the best way to do that is through aligning our lives to the devotions of prayer and fasting and reading God's word and participating in small group and all those things. And as we set ourselves apart, as we fast and humbly seek God, what happens? The unstoppable God, who in his name impossible things will be done. Spiritual power is released from us. If there's anything the world needs in 2018, it needs God's people to be spiritually powerful. And that's our destiny, folks. Are you ready? Are you ready for 2018? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, Lord. We thank you that you are the unstoppable God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you that you are good and that you are faithful and that your love endures forever. And Lord, we seek you this morning. And Lord, we stir faith in our hearts, for we know that without faith, it's impossible to please you. For anyone who comes to you must believe that you exist and that you reward those who diligently seek you. Lord, help us to prioritize our lives around your agenda, your plans. Lord, the importance of church attendance, the importance of hearing and reading and studying your word, and Lord, being a witness, and Lord, participating in those small group activities of where we're in your word and we're breaking bread and we're praying and we're fellowshipping, Lord. Lord, where we're accountable. Lord, help each and every one of us do our part. Help us to, Lord, be great witnesses in where you've placed us, Lord. Lord, let your power manifest through our lives. Speak to us about this new year. Lord, as we set ourselves apart in times of prayer and fasting coming in January, God, I just pray that there would be a reviving, an awakening, and a renewal in our soul, God. Yes. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Go ahead, worship team. You can play. Just want to give you an opportunity. If you know you're not in a right place with God and you want to get right with him, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that while we're in this attitude of prayer. Quickly, would you just raise your hand if you go, you know, I don't want to begin 2018 like I was living in 2017. I want to change. If that's you, would you raise your hands this morning? Just want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all in the back. Lord, help us to rearrange, to be centered in your will. Want us to, if you'd like to just stand and say, just as a declaration, man, I'm standing firm. When you've done everything to stand, what does Scripture say in Ephesians? When you've done everything to stand, do what? Stand firm. I know many of you all diligently seek the Lord, and I commend you for that. But as we conclude with, what are we going out with? You want to do Unstoppable God? Unstoppable God. We'll go out with Unstoppable God. I want you to just stand. Stand and declare this. Declare this for 2018 in your own life. When you're done singing, you can go. You can go before that if you'd like. God bless you.